Welcome to the Painesville Assembly of God podcast. We're always encouraged to know God is working through this ministry to touch lives. So if you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending us an email at info@painesvilleag.com. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
The Holy Spirit's your best friend. Paul understood the Holy Spirit as the power source. Paul understood that the person of the Holy Spirit guides us through life, but we need also the power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish the work that God has called each and every one of us to. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. In fact, Paul thought it so much that when he came across people that he said, boy, these are believers. His question to them was regarding the Holy Spirit. Have you heard about the Holy Spirit? Have you had a partnership? Are you walking in the power of the Holy Spirit? Paul believed it was that important to ask that question. And so in Acts 19:6, it says, when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. Notice Paul prayed for them. They said, we haven't even heard there is a Holy Spirit. What's he do? He leads them in who Jesus. He said, well, what baptism? They said, John's baptism. Well, let me tell you about Jesus. And he leads them in a salvation prayer in Jesus. And he leads them in that relationship with Jesus. And then they're baptized in water. And that wasn't where it ended. It wasn't where it ended. It says that Paul then laid his hands on them so that they could receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. They needed the Holy Spirit to come upon them. And what came out, the eruption that came out as we talk about the Holy Spirit in us, when Paul laid his hands on them and they began to pray and they began to seek the baptism in the Holy Spirit, there was an eruption that came out and they began to speak in tongues and they began to prophesy. Now here's a key thought. This is a key thought for the message today. I want you to understand this. A relationship with the Holy Spirit is less about the performance of some spiritual act and more about a partnership through which we begin to live a supernatural life. How many want to live a supernatural life? I want to live a supernatural life. Not all of you, I'm surprised. I want to live a supernatural life. Even though it's controversial, and I know when we talk about speaking in tongues, it can be controversial. It's one of those things that sometimes, I got to be honest with you, as pastor, it can be intimidating to preach about because this is one of those buzz kind of things. But I'm preaching it to you today, all right? We're going to talk about it today because I think we have to talk about the little elephant in the room and what it's all about. But I'm going to tell you that it's not about some pressurized reaction. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about I want you to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit where you can learn how to partner with the Holy Spirit and walk in the power of the Holy Spirit so that you can walk and see supernatural things happen. I believe when the Holy Spirit comes on us, when the Holy Spirit is stirred in us, that there is an outflow. There is an outflow that happens in our lives. God the Father is the one who is a part of creation. Jesus came as God in the flesh and he died so that every one of us died on the cross and paid for our sins so that every one of us can experience the life, his life, that he rose from the grave. We can experience new life and salvation. And then Jesus said it wasn't good enough that it stopped there. It was good that he go and ascend to the Father. Why? Because if he didn't, the Holy Spirit could not come. Jesus recognized that for you and I as believers, we need to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. It became less about temples. It became less about rituals. It became less about those forms. And it became more about the Holy Spirit working in and through our lives. It was a fulfillment of the prophecy in Jeremiah in the Old Testament that the laws of God would no longer just be written down in books and in scrolls and passed along, but they would be written on the hearts of men. The hearts of men and women. We need the laws of God not simply in our head, but we need them written on our heart. And that can't happen unless we are filled with the Holy Spirit, unless we have the Holy Spirit working in and through our lives, that it becomes less about outward forms and outward behaviors and becomes something that is a natural flow that begins within us and begins to flow out of us. The fruit of the Spirit is the character of God. That's the character that ought to be developed as the Holy Spirit lives in you and is convicting you and working in you. He's working in your character, not an outward form of behavior, but on the inside. And then the fruit of that, Fruit comes from the inside. How many know fruit doesn't grow unless it starts with the roots? You got the roots, you got the plant, you got the, and the fruit flows out of healthiness that comes from the inside. The fruit is developed from the inside out. It's not the outside in. You don't take and tape it on. We need the character, and the character is developed in our lives. But it didn't end there. Paul talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit. Friends, we can walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't think we believe that anymore. I think we might believe it's good for other countries or other missionaries or all that, but, you know, or maybe good for the paid people, that the guy who's up here preaching, he's the one that has to pray for me to be healed. But the Bible doesn't talk about that. The Bible says that we're the body of Christ and that there are gifts given to each and every one of us. In fact, there are some of you that may have a greater gift for the gift of healing or a word of wisdom or a word of prophecy or a word of knowledge or a gift of miracles that I don't have because God has given it to you. And if you relegate it to simply the person that has the paid salary or the credential or whatever else, then we miss the opportunity for God to be at work in our church and in our lives and in individuals. We do. God wants to use you. God wants to fill you. The Holy Spirit lives in you, and God wants you to begin to develop and recognize the gifts of the Spirit and the power of the Spirit, and wants you to begin to walk in the baptism in the Holy Spirit. God wants it for you. As your pastor, I want it for you. I want it for you. Listen, it is just really important that we understand that we need to learn how to partner with the Holy Spirit. We can't live our lives like the people in Acts chapter 19 who were living without an understanding. We don't even know there is a Holy Spirit. There's a problem in the church when we walk and we live as if there is no power. We live as if there is no Holy Spirit. We try to do it in our own strength, and our own talents, and our own giftings, and then we wonder why it fails and why there's really a lack of fruitfulness. It's because we're not walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. We're not walking in conjunction with a partner of the Holy Spirit. So I want to talk this morning about three ways the Holy Spirit partners with us. Three ways the Holy Spirit partners with us. Number one is this. The Holy Spirit determines what is restored in me. The Holy Spirit determines what is restored in me. Now, I've been alive over 40 years. That might be hard to realize. I have a hard time with that sometimes. But I've learned in being alive for over 40 years, and I've been in ministry for 20 years full-time. I've been in full-time ministry for 20 years. And I can tell you that just because somebody looks like they have it all together on the outside, when they come to church, they know how to say the right things, they know how to dress the right way, they know how to come in. I can tell you, that just because somebody looks like they got it all together on the outside doesn't mean that when they leave here or there's some things that are hurt, some things that are, that there's not some things that need to be restored on the inside. Friends, there are things inside of us that need to be restored. Some of you might be dealing today with betrayal. You might be dealing with rejection. You might be dealing with loss, recovering from a trauma or abuse. Man, disappointments in life, shame, guilt. Listen, those things are no respecter of persons. Every one of us deals with those things. Every one of us has experienced some pain. And I'm going to tell you that if you talk with people, and I've learned as I talk with people, if you look people in the eye, there are times where you can see that maybe on the outside you say, how are you doing? Oh, I'm good. You can tell not everything is good. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know not everything is good. Man, there are these things that go on the surface, and we carry around these pains, and it affects how we think, it affects how our worldview is, it affects us. Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit, when it comes to healing and restoration, the Holy Spirit is the greatest healer in our lives. There is no greater healer in our lives than the Holy Spirit. He understands our pain. He understands what goes on in your life. And Jesus says that we need living water. When he talked to the woman at the well, she had five broken relationships. In John chapter 5, she had five, or John chapter 4, she had five broken relationships. The man she was with wasn't even her husband. And when Jesus was talking with her, he says, listen, if you would have asked me, I'd have given you living water. Living water. Why? Because I know that something needs to be restored in you. Listen, the Holy Spirit knows that there are some things that need to be restored in you. There is some brokenness that needs to work its way down. And when he uses the illustration of the water, why is water so important? Because what I found is that water will work itself into places that you didn't even know were there. Water can work itself down into places, down into the crevices, down into the dark places. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit works himself down into those areas where he can begin to bring healing and he can bring restoration into the broken places of our lives. Oftentimes we don't know how to cope with the pain inside. That's why we find that there are a lot of people that are struggling, and why, if you take a look in the news today, one of the biggest issues that continually comes up is overdoses. We don't know how to deal with the pain. We don't know how to deal with the hurt, and so we begin to look to other things to try to deal with it. Friends, I'm going to tell you, why do we need the Holy Spirit? Because the Holy Spirit is the one who can work into those areas and who can bring the healing and help us in those areas that we need. And there's something that the Holy Spirit can do. The Holy Spirit can do more, and I'm nothing. And this isn't against reading books, and this isn't talking with people and getting help and those kind of things. But I'm going to tell you, the greatest counselor in your life, the greatest teacher in your life, the one who can really open up and bring the healing in your life is the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. And that's why we need the baptism in the Holy Spirit, because part of that miracle language that comes, we call it a prayer language. And we can begin to pray and our spirit connect with God, and we can pray and we now maybe not understand exactly what we're saying, but we begin to pray and the Holy Spirit begins to pray in that prayer language, and the Holy Spirit begins to work into those areas we didn't even know were there, into the inner parts of our soul, and brings a process of healing. I don't know, how many of you have ever used this before, hydrogen peroxide? Yeah, if you got a cut or something, You know, you pour that on. What happens when you pour that on? It begins to fizz and bubble up and goes into those areas. Yeah, unfortunately, I have to use this sometimes. And those kind of areas. You put it there, and it kind of bubbles up. And what's it do? It kind of works itself into the infection and tries to assist in the healing process. Friends, that's a little bit of what the Holy Spirit is like. The Holy Spirit can get into those places, into those areas, and wants to work. What does the Holy Spirit want to do? Wants to convict us of sin, the Bible says. Why? Because sin is kind of like that dirt, kind of like that grime, kind of like those bacteria that can come and bring infection. And oftentimes we don't even know the infection is there until it starts to ooze out. It looks all green and nasty and it's all pussy. And you know what I'm talking about? Gets all red around the... Yeah, it's kind of gross, isn't it? Yeah, that's disgusting. You don't even know it's there. You don't even know the infection is there. I have some stories. I won't tell them. But I'm going to tell you that just like hydrogen peroxide, I know it doesn't do it all, but part of it, hydrogen peroxide, like the Holy Spirit gets into those areas and works in those areas and begins to bring restoration and healing in those areas. Jesus said something very powerful about the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 14 and verse 26, he called him the Counselor, but the Counselor of the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and remind you of all that I said to you. The Holy Spirit is the greatest counselor. The Holy Spirit is able to remind you and teach you and help you to restore those areas. So how do you activate the Holy Spirit's restoring and healing power in your life? Well, a guy by the name of Jude, he was actually a brother of Jesus. He wrote a little letter. It's only got one chapter. It's really short. It's really short. It's only got one chapter. So we say Jude chapter 1 and verse 20, or sometimes you may see it as Jude 20. It's not chapter 20. It's actually verse, because there's only one chapter. But this is what Jude wrote. Build yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Friends, there is nothing more powerful than we begin to pray in the Holy Spirit. We begin to build up our faith, and we begin to pray in the Holy Spirit. Now I want to talk one last time. I'm going to talk about tongues one last time and then move on. Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, he wrote in 1 Corinthians 14:18-19, he said, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. But in the church, I'd rather you speak 5 intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Now, let's just assume here that it's got to be a pretty good thing. Tongues has to be a pretty good thing if Paul wrote about the Holy Spirit. If he wrote about it, through the power of the Holy Spirit, he wrote about it, and he says, you know what, I thank God I speak in tongues more than all of you. It has to be a pretty good thing if Paul's talking about it here. All right? But he talks about two things. He said, in the church, in other words, when you gather publicly, when you gather together, I'd rather you speak in intelligible words than in tongues. And he says, it makes sense. Why? Because nobody can understand what you're saying without someone bringing the interpretation. Now, that's in the public worship setting. If somebody's just talking and praying in a prayer language in front of everybody and for everybody to hear, if I just got up here and instead of preach to you in English, I just started preaching in tongues, you wouldn't even know what I was saying. You walk out of here going, man, that guy is strange, and I got absolutely nothing out of that. You know what I'm saying? That'd be kind of odd. Well, Paul's bringing some correction to a Corinthian church that wasn't doing things correctly. And he's saying, listen, I believe in tongues. I pray in tongues more than all of you. I believe in that. But when it comes to the public worship setting, when it comes to being in there in public and that kind of thing, I'd rather you speak five intelligible words than all the rest in tongues. Why? Because it doesn't profit anything. Now, you have to contrast these two uses. The two uses for speaking in tongues, there are two, and some of you might not know, and this is the case. One is privately when you pray, as Jude talked about, praying in the Spirit. The other is publicly, usually in a public worship service. And we've had it happen here where somebody begins to pray out in their miracle language, their prayer language, they begin to pray, and then we wait, and we instruct, wait for someone to give the interpretation. Why? Because it doesn't profit unless we do that. The gifts of the Spirit are associated with the public gift of tongues. And I heard a story of this happening once in a church service where one guy spoke out of tongues in the middle of the service so everybody could hear. Another guy then spoke out in English and he gave the interpretation. Well, in that same service, there was a man who was from India and he was visiting in the balcony. And the man had heard the first one who was speaking supernaturally in the miracle prayer language, and he actually was speaking in this man's native dialect there in India. And he heard it. And then he heard the second guy come in English and give the interpretation, and they were the exact same. He knew both languages, and he said, wow. Man, he went up to the pastor after the service, and he said, hey, where's that guy that spoke my language? Somebody here knows my language, even my dialect. And the pastor said, well, no, that guy doesn't know your language. That was what we call a gift of tongues. And then somebody gave the interpretation in the service, and the man said, no, it can't be, because what the second guy said was exactly what the first guy, and it was in my language. He said, no. Then he began to walk him through the scripture in terms of the gift of tongues and interpretation. Man, what a powerful way, isn't it? And Corinthians says, we speak in tongues and of men and of angels. It says, but have not love, but the tongues of the men and of angels. Sometimes when people are speaking out in a particular tongue, it may be another language that we don't even know around our world. We're not even sure. Sometimes that may be the case. Sometimes it may be one of those that we don't know, but we wait. It's a bilingual language miracle. And in the public worship service, it's for the purpose of being to edify and to build up the body of Christ, which can't be done without the interpretation. And also the tongues is a sign up for the unbeliever so that they recognize what's going on. Now, Paul says this. He wrote earlier in 1 Corinthians 14:2, anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people but to God. And indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. Now listen, Paul says anyone who speaks in a tongue doesn't speak to people, but who do they speak to? To God. See, that's why prayer language, we call it a prayer language, because when you begin to speak in that miracle language, you're really talking to God. It's a language to God, because God knows all languages, doesn't He? God knows all languages, and you're uttering mysteries in the Spirit. Now, when I pray in my prayer language, I don't oftentimes know what I'm saying. I don't understand what I'm saying. My tongue is going. My lips are speaking. I don't understand. But I know it's prayer unto the Lord. My spirit is connecting with God in prayer. How many have had that experience before? I'm not alone. See, I'm not weird. I'm not alone. There are others who have had that experience. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is a better prayer than I am. The Holy Spirit knows things that I don't know. That's what God knows all things. The Holy Spirit knows things that I don't know. And so we need to begin to pray in the Spirit, because He knows things and understands things we don't know. But Paul goes on to explain in 1 Corinthians 14:4, anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. And that's why he says, listen, when it comes to the public worship setting, he uses the word edify. It means to build up, to become strong. It's a restoration thing. So when you're going through it, when you're struggling, when you're down, when you're depressed, when you feel tempted, when you're struggling in kind of some anguish and you're burdened and you don't know what to do on the inside, you begin to pray as that gift of the Holy Spirit is in you. You begin to pray as God gives. You begin to pray in that prayer language. It begins to restore things. It begins to build things up. It begins to make you stronger. And it comes internally. The one who prophesies or speaks in the Holy Spirit edifies and encourages everybody else. But as you're praying and you're saying, man, I'm just really struggling. I want to encourage you. There is a gift that is available through the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And that as you begin to pray in your prayer language, it begins to build up your faith and make you stronger. Man, some of you say, well, you know what? I've been taught in different circles that this isn't for everybody. It's only for certain people. But in 1 Corinthians 14:5, Paul said, I'd like every one of you to speak in tongues. But in public, I'd rather have you prophesy. I'd like to have every one of you. Friends, I believe, we as the Assemblies of God, we believe this gift is for everybody. We believe this is for everybody because we believe that everybody needs this encouragement. Everybody needs the Holy Spirit. And that this is really a starting place for you to begin to partner with the Holy Spirit and begin to see God take your spiritual level and empowerment to another level. God, through the Holy Spirit, wants to partner with you to restore those things that have been lost or broken. Now, I want to read, I got an email this week from one of our missionaries. And Don and Terry Triplett, who are in El Salvador. How many have heard of Don and Terry Triplett? Some of you have gone to El Salvador. Long-term missionaries to El Salvador. And in fact, not only are they missionaries, but their sons and daughters are missionaries, and they've got grandkids that are on the mission field. And Don himself, his dad, was also in missions. And so this is a missions family. But let me read to you what happened to one of their daughter, the Sobies, and she got remarried. Her last name is the Sobies, and so they were in Latin America, and they had been meeting, and so they had their kids with them, Andre and Sophia, and they hadn't seen them for a while. You know, missionaries, they're ministering and all that. They hadn't seen them for a while, and when they stepped into the gym where the service had been held, they got nervous. They didn't see them, so they cleared out. There was a small handful of people. They didn't see their kids anywhere. They walked up to the front near the stage, and she said, "When I turned the corner, my heart was filled with joy. It was after midnight, and there they were praying. I was so proud." Or he said, "I was so proud as a dad. I took out my phone and took a picture of this miracle that was taking place." So here they were praying for this guy. And said, afterwards, the kids asked, "Did you hear what happened?" And they told us the story of the miracle that God did that evening. Their daughter Sophia had been seeking the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and that evening during the altar time, she was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Their sister-in-law, Michelle Wellborn, was there. She also works in King's Castle, and she said she immediately challenged Sophia and said, "Now that you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, pray the Lord will show you who you're supposed to minister to." Again, the baptism in the Holy Spirit in our lives is for us to be able to go out and minister to others, for us to be able to share and minister to. The Lord has empowered you, and He wants to use you. This is what her Aunt Michelle told this little girl, Sophia, who had been seeking the baptism in the Holy Spirit, was filled that night, said, "Listen, I want you to pray. Who's God sending you to? What has God empowered you to do?" So Sophia began to pray the Lord would show her who she was supposed to pray for, and the Lord did. Sophia, who was 9 years old at the time, was hesitant at first and wondered, "Is this really the Lord speaking to me, or am I just imagining it?" And the more she prayed, the more she felt that it was the Lord who had burdened her to pray for a man she had never met. And then this is what happened. Someone said, "Will you guys help pray for Francisco?" Immediately, Sophia's heart began to pound because it was the exact person the Lord had spoken to her about. Francisco had grown up in El Salvador to a poor family. Growing up, he never had shoes his size, and because of that, his toes grew all deformed. His toes were curled down. It was so embarrassing for Francisco that he never took his shoes off in public. He never wore sandals or did anything to expose his deformed toes. It had recently become a big deal to Francisco because he and his wife were raising their support to go as missionaries to the nation of Tonga. They were headed there to start King's Castle Ministries, and Francisco was embarrassed because people in Tonga wore sandals everywhere they went. Sophia and Andre and Bella, their cousin, placed their hands on his feet and began to pray for healing. The girls said they felt something like lightning flowing through their arms and hands. Francisco said his feet began to feel like they were on fire. When he took off his shoes, his toes were completely healed. His toes had straightened out. said all except for his pinky toes, which he believed the Lord gave left there to him to be a reminder. And then they had a picture of him in sandals, picture of him in sandals. That night, everything changed for our kids. Their faith had never been the same. They prayed for others and seen and experienced all kinds of miracles. Why? Because they opened themselves up to the Holy Spirit working in and through their lives. She said, I'm seeking the baptism in the Holy Spirit. She received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, but it wasn't just so that she could hear herself speak in tongues, but it was so that she could learn how to partner with the Holy Spirit, who wants to use her in the gifts of the Holy Spirit to bring restoration to people around. We've got a world that is hurting, that is lost, that is dying, that needs some people who can walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, not just say we believe God heals, but be used by God through the power of the Holy Spirit to see miracles happen. Friends, I believe it can be done, not just in places like El Salvador and Nicaragua and Argentina, but I believe, friends, that it can happen here, today, and now. God used a 9-year-old little girl, a 9-year-old little girl, because she had faith to believe that that's what God's Word said, and I believe it. Too many times we reason ourselves out of being used in the power of the Holy Spirit. The second thing, not only does the Holy Spirit want a partner to do things to restore things in me, but the Holy Spirit determines what is revealed to me. Again, going back to John 14:26, the Holy Spirit whom the Father will send in my name will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Now, I got a little device here. It's called a thumb drive. How many have ever seen one of these little thumb drive things before? What do? You put them in one machine, you download some information to them, and then you put it in another machine, and what do? You upload the information to it. Friends, the Holy Spirit is God's thumb drive, all right? You want to know what God is saying. You want to be able to understand what His Word is saying. You say, I read that. I just don't understand. Listen, it's the Holy Spirit who teaches us. God, through the Holy Spirit, is downloading and wants to download information and reveal to you what God is saying. But you've got to be willing to plug the Holy Spirit into your life. You've got to be willing to plug the Holy Spirit into your life. Sometimes you say, man, I'm struggling, I need peace. Guess what? You can pray and the Holy Spirit will download the Word of God to you and begin to teach you, and you can have a peace that passes all understanding. You need joy in your life. Man, begin to plug into the Holy Spirit and let God begin to download His joy, not happiness, because happiness is based on circumstances, and circumstances are not always great. But you can find peace and you can find joy no matter what through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit reveals through convicting us of sin and revealing the hidden areas of our life so that we can completely give ourselves to God. The Holy Spirit can reveal the plan and the will of God to guide us into a greater understanding of where God desires to use our lives, where God desires to take us. We need a partnership with the Holy Spirit. We need to receive a divinely inspired revelation. The Holy Spirit partners to reveal things to us. Thirdly, partnership with the Holy Spirit reveals what is released through me. What is released through me? Going back to Acts chapter 19, once again, the believers in Ephesus were filled with the Holy Spirit. What followed that? Acts 19:11. It says this, God did extraordinary miracles through Paul. Extraordinary miracles through Paul. Why? Because there was a community of faith that saw extraordinary miracles happen. And this is what they were after. They were after the power of God so that they could see answers to prayer and miracles released, similar to what happened to Sophia, similar to what happened down there when God began to work through them and released through them. Now, let me tell you a little bit of story about my Christian worldview. Let me just share with you a little bit about my worldview. How do I see the world? Listen, I'm not interested in following Jesus that is simply a dead philosopher from the past. If Jesus is simply a dead philosopher from the past, I'm not into that. If Jesus is just simply a good teacher, I don't want a good teacher. There's a lot of good teachers that are out there. There's a lot of people that have a lot of nice things to say. I don't need a good teacher. I'm not about, Christianity for me is not about becoming a better citizen, being a more moralistic teacher so that I can teach you how to live a better life or how to follow the rules or those kind of things. Now, I believe that Jesus died. I believe that He came back to life. I believe he's alive today, that he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, that he's active in the world, and that he's active through his Holy Spirit. I'm not here just to follow somebody who lived a long time ago and then died and that was it. I believe that Jesus Christ is alive, that he's actively working in and through our lives, and he's doing powerful things, and that there's an adventure to following Jesus. That there is a mission to following Jesus. Jesus gave his disciples, those who were followers of him, a commission to go into all the world and to make disciples of all nations. That was everybody who was a disciple and a follower of Jesus Christ. And he said, listen, I'm going to equip you. I'm going to equip you. Go and wait for the promise my Father has for you. What was that promise? It was the Holy Spirit. And I believe that the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the miracles and those kind of things that happened in Bible times were not just for that time a long time ago. It wasn't just a long time ago. It wasn't just we need that to get the church started. And like the flywheel, once the church is started, then okay, we no longer have that anymore. Listen, friends. We don't need that. There are 7 billion people that are alive on the planet. Over 7 billion people alive on the planet today. At least 5 billion who have never heard about the salvation message or the hope of Jesus Christ. At least 5 billion. Now, if the Holy Spirit and the working and the power and the miracles of God to be able to declare that Jesus Christ is alive and to be able to prove it in the signs and the wonders, if that was important back in Bible times, how much more is it today for those 5 billion who have never heard the name of Jesus Christ before, who have not had an opportunity? How much more? They're unreached. Friends, I think we need the power of God to prove the resurrection is alive. The resurrection is for today. Jesus is alive today. I think we need it now as much as they needed it back then. I think people need to hear the gospel. They need to hear and they need to see that there's proof in the gospel. We need to pray for God to revive us and to open us up and to say, God, we want to be used like your church. We want to be used like it was in the days of Paul, in the days of Peter, in the days after. We want to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. You said that we'd do even greater things than you. Were these just words or do we actually believe them? Friends, we need the Holy Spirit to fill us. Maybe you struggle in the area of whether tongues is this, tongues is that. Don't focus on tongues. Focus on being filled with the Holy Spirit. Focus on being filled with the Holy Spirit. Do you want more of the Holy Spirit in your life? Do you want God to begin to stir in you and the Holy Spirit who lives in you to not just stay, but to begin to flow out of you so that it can be released, the Holy Spirit being released through your life so that you can see lives change, so that you can work in what God desires, so that you can help to restore what has been broken and lost, so that you, through the power of the Holy Spirit, can see truth of God being released, the power of God proving the resurrection of Jesus Christ being released in our world. That's what I want. That's what I want. That's what I want. Friends, that's what we need. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to ask the worship team to come. Some of you, you've had this experience in your life, but it's been a long time since you partnered with the Holy Spirit. It's been a long time since you've been activated in the power of the Holy Spirit. You kind of let things go dormant. You've kind of let things go. Friends, I think we need to get stirred up again. We need to begin to recognize and ask the Lord for a hunger and a thirst for the things of the Spirit. We need to ask the Lord to fill us with the Holy Spirit. Some of you are struggling. You might still be struggling. You're wrestling with these things that I'm talking about. Wrestle with them with the Holy Spirit. Wrestle with them with God. Don't close off what God may want to do in and through you. Don't close that off. Get in the Scriptures and begin to study. Get in the Scriptures and begin to see. Don't just take my word for it. But friends, I'm going to tell you that there is something powerful when you begin to activate the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. When you say, Lord, fill me. Lord, come upon me. Lord, baptize me in your Holy Spirit. Lord, work through me. Because I believe that there are things in your life that need to be restored and need to be healed. And you need to let the Holy Spirit begin to work in there and begin to bring that healing to your life. I believe that there are some of you that the Holy Spirit wants to begin to reveal things. You need a fresh revelation. You have lost the vision for your life. You've lost a vision. Your faith has become boring. It's become about a weekly routine of simply coming to church every week. But I'm going to tell you, Christianity is not about just coming to church every week, but it's about growing and being used by God to transform our community and our world. It's not about just coming and sitting. It's not about being bored out of your mind because this guy won't stop preaching and I'm tired. It's not about that. That's dead religion. There's an adventure that awaits you when you begin to get on mission with God. When you begin to take up the Great Commission, you say, God, how can you use me? Because God wants to work his power through you to touch this world that needs to know that Jesus Christ is alive. The power of Jesus Christ is alive. And that's when we allow ourselves to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Friends, will you let the Holy Spirit, will you let him fill you today? Will you let him fill you today? Let's bow our heads this morning.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are encouraged and strengthened by God's word. For more information about Painesville Assembly of God, please visit PainesvilleAG.com.